And then from 1 Samuel, we turn our attention to this epistle. The epistle to the Ephesians in the New Testament will be in chapter 5. I'll begin at verse 8. Listen now, in addition to what we heard from Samuel, to this word preserved for us from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. These words from Ephesians chapter 5, along with what we heard from Samuel, are for us the word of God, for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is indeed rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, light is a defining characteristic of the world in which we live. I mean, light itself is hard baked into the design of the universe. Even when it is darkest at night here, it's not as though the sun has been turned off the way we turn off a lamp. No, we're just in the shadow of the earth. It's just on the other side. The sun, a constant as reflected back to us by the light of the moon. You might say that as the planet spins, it's literally on a quest for light. Biblically, think of Genesis, the Bible, the third verse, Genesis chapter 1, 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis says light was at the beginning. We might go so far as to say that light is the beginning of all we know in this earth and in the universe surrounding us. Without light, we would not be able to observe anything, and we certainly wouldn't be able to learn much either. It's as though we ourselves, from the beginning of creation, have been on a quest for the light. And just as important as Genesis is the cosmic preamble of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I mean, here, light and life, they are twinned, paired together by John forever. And John ups the ante a little bit. Light is not only part of the universe that God has designed, but light is a promise. Namely, God's light shining through Christ is the promise. A promise that no darkness can quell or extinguish. The kind of promise upon which we can build a faith and place our greatest trust. In a way, our souls are on a quest for light too. Now, I'm neither a biologist nor an anthropologist, but even I understand that we human beings desperately need light. We need it to see and interpret the world. We need it for agriculture. We need it for color, warmth, and beauty. I was in Boone this week up in the mountains visiting our son in Appalachian State, and he wanted to drive up to the Blue Ridge Parkway and watch the sunset over Grandfather Mountain, and I'm glad he wanted to do that. It was though the sky was bathed in light, more colors in the heavens than I could count, so beautiful it made me gasp with awe and wonder. Light takes the ordinary, like a sunset that happens every day, and it makes it extraordinary. We were built for light. Our eyes, when they are healthy and functioning properly, are perfectly designed light receptors. Like I said, we are on a quest for light. And so for all these reasons, the essential nature of light, the contrast between light and darkness, they're given lots of space in the Bible. Literal verses referring to the sun and light, and darkness and night, and in metaphors about light and faith. Wherever you find it, light is a constant in the scriptures, which shape our Christian faith. Now this Lent, we are focusing on the humanity of Jesus in our preaching and our worship. Easter is a great celebration of the divine Jesus, the one that overcomes sin and death. But for these weeks, just before Easter, we want to look at what made Jesus human, just like all of us and just like any of us. The human Jesus had a very human mission. Namely, he preached and he taught. His preaching and teaching were the mission of the human Jesus. He knew that human beings were learning beings, created to learn. I might say that the great secret to lifelong happiness is lifelong learning. Learning is a defining trait of who we are and what we are. And the human Jesus knew this, taking advantage of the human curiosity for knowledge and the human need to know about God. Through stories, parables, and conversations, Jesus intended to teach us, one, how to shine the light of the grace, how to shine the light of grace into the world through our actions, and two, how to overcome the darkness of sin and evil through the light of faith. In Matthew 5, Jesus makes this connection between his teachings and what he desires from us when he tells the crowds listening to the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city upon a hill cannot be hidden." He does not mean that we are to learn from him and store that knowledge away for our own sake so that we can be super wise all alone. No, no. He wants us to be wise, but not only wise. He wants us to share what we have learned and to shine the light of faith all around. Here in North Carolina, Davidson College, founded by Presbyterians in 1837, has as its motto the words Alinda Lux Ubi Orta Libertas, which is Latin and translates to "Let learning be cherished where liberty has arisen." In this motto, the word lux is translated as learning, but the word lux literally means light. All those words that we have in English and Latin that have that L sound, like illuminate, refer back to lux and light. When something is learned, the information is moved from the darkness of ignorance and into the light of understanding. And if you read the sermons and parables of Jesus, it can be no mystery as what he wants us to do as his followers. Perhaps the hymn, "Christ Be Our Light," puts it best when it says, quote, "Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine in the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church, gathered today." Or, if that's not one of your favorite hymns, it can be broken down into the smallest parts. Go way back into your memory, for those of you that are at least as old as I am, to the little children's song, "This Little Light of Mine." I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You see, Jesus Christ wants us to share what we have received and learned from him and to shine that light of faith all around us. In 1 Samuel, our Old Testament text today, we have this amazing moment in which Samuel is waiting on the illumination that is the light of the Spirit to help him determine who the next king of Israel will be. In the city of Bethlehem, he summons the sons of Jesse at the command of God. And Jesse's family is a very human family. And David, the one that Samuel will anoint as king, is a very human king. And in spite of all his virtues, David is as flawed as any other human being. Samuel goes through all the sons of Jesse until the light of the Holy Spirit fixes itself upon David. It's a wonderful text, which reminds us that we don't really understand anything at all without the light of the Holy Spirit. Samuel leaves on a quest for light, and he finds it. Now, unlike 1 Samuel, where we must put on our interpretive lenses to see the presence of light, our text from Ephesians comes crashing down upon us like a piano crashing upon a parked car. Ephesians pulls no punches. The first verse, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light." Darkness and light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, an invitation to go find the light. Our biblical epistles, like Ephesians, well, they're teaching letters. They are teaching documents. They are preserved to guide and direct us on the journey of faith. Our text today, verse 14, ends with a quote. It says, "Sleepers, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The last verse that we read. Two things to note about this verse. The first is that it is not a quote from the Bible, but it's a quote from what scholars believe was a widely circulated and well-known hymn in the early church. These are likely some of the words our most ancient ancestors sang together when they gathered for worship and prayer. And the second is that here, this verse is a capstone to the argument of the entire passage. That is, when we are separated from the light of God, the light of Christ, we become spiritually dead. Sleepers, awake, it says, rise from the dead. Of course, that makes us think of the resurrection, but in this text, it is the final stone in the building which makes no illusions about the power and the necessity of living in the light of Christ. It implores us to live as children of light and tells us that the fruit of the light is all that is good and right and true. It warns us about the unfruitful works of darkness and tells us to expose them to the light. As it occurs in the midst of a chapter about human choices, human conduct, and how faith should direct every hour of every day in which we live, it is an exhortation to embrace the light of grace and to shine the light of grace upon ourselves and others whenever people are lost in the darkness of sin, shame, or injustice. On its own, this moment from Ephesians is one of the great moments of the Bible, which regales the essence and wonder of spiritual light. My friends, the Bible is full of meta-narratives. It moves us from deserts to abundant waters. It moves from slavery in Egypt to freedom in Israel. It moves from the wilderness of sin and temptation to the glory of the Sermon on the Mount. It moves ultimately from death on the cross to resurrection life on Easter. But the most frequent meta-narrative, the one that cuts across all books of the Bible, is the movement from darkness to light. And nowhere is that movement more apparent or obvious than in Ephesians. The question, of course, is what does this mean? What do we do with it? Well, in the final analysis, it means that our ethics, our choices, our actions should be guided by the Bible's North Star. And we should be asking ourselves the question, are we living and serving and praying and helping as a way of guiding ourselves and others to the light of grace and faith? Are we living that way or not? The Bible's warning to us is also an opportunity. It calls us to be on the quest for light, the light of the soul, the light of the spirit, an invitation to live with and through the light of Christ. And that's the greatest and most essential invitation of all. Arise, for light has come, friends. That's good news for today. And I think it's good news forever. Amen.